This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Next Tuesday, the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, is going to do a little dabbling in the electromagnetic spectrum market. The FCC controls the airwaves, literally the radio frequencies that broadcasters and wireless companies use to get us the content that we want. They're going to buy back parts of that spectrum from traditional broadcasters and then turn around and sell them to wireless providers. Not, I know, the stuff of a gripping radio story, but that's kind of the point. Because 100 years ago, the fight over the airwaves was pretty dramatic, and more often than not, came down to a 40-year friendship between two men, a brilliant but troubled inventor named Edwin Armstrong and David Sarnoff, the head of the Radio Corporation of America, RCA. The story is told in a new book by Scott Woolley, which is called The Network. Scott, thanks for coming to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me about these two guys, Edwin Armstrong and David Sarnoff. Who were they?
Well, they were born both around the same time, 1890, 1891, and they started hanging out together at the very dawn of the 20th century, just as the wireless industry was taking off. So before there was AM radio, there was the wireless telegraph. Mm-hmm. And these guys started out, Sarnoff was a Russian immigrant, and he came over and was working for the Marconi Wireless Telegraph Company. And Armstrong was this brilliant inventor who had invented this new device, this vacuum tube amplifier that really made radio work.
David Sarnoff turns this thing that Edwin Armstrong came up with into a business. Did he understand what he was doing? I mean, give me a sense of him as an entrepreneur and as a businessman.
He was obsessed with finding cheaper ways to communicate. And so inventors like Armstrong invented new technologies that made communications cheaper. Sarnoff could invent new business models. So he really backed AM radio as a broadcasting method. Everybody had assumed it would just replace the telegraph. AT&T thought this is just one-to-one communication. He figured out, hey, if we do cheap one-way communications, one person to a million, the cost of each connection falls by many orders of magnitude, and the ability to communicate as a result explodes.
So these two friends get rich off AM radio. Then 20 years later, Armstrong invites Sarnoff up to his lab and says, hey, look, I invented FM radio. But Sarnoff's not so wild about it at that point, and slowly the friendship kind of begins to strain a bit. How come?
I really put it on the inventor, in this case, Armstrong, because his attitude was, if there's a better technology, everyone should accept it. And Sarnoff knew that wasn't the way that the world really worked. And he had to figure out how to be a little more strategic and who your enemies were going to be, how to beat them.
FM doesn't really take off the way Armstrong believes it should, though. He places the blame squarely on his friend, the head of RCA, who sells AM radio. Sarnoff denies that. In your mind, then, who gets the blame?
The FCC. Simply, and Congress behind them. So after World War II, in which FM proves itself on the battlefield, Patton loves it. It really helps his tanks beat the Nazis who are using AM radio. It's the walkie-talkies in the Pacific or FM. It's a great advantage for the U.S. Marines. They come back from World War II, and Armstrong and everybody is convinced that FM is going to take over the world. Yeah. The FCC decides the threat of FM monopolies. FM doesn't exist, but they're going to control FM. And they adopt restrictions that cripple the industry for the next three decades.
And that is the thrust of this book. And you see it today, this idea of new technologies just getting squashed by the status quo.
Absolutely. Particularly the ability to control the airwaves, these things that people use all the time, but we don't really understand. It's pretty easy to gain control of a natural resource when nobody really sees it, feels it, thinks about it that much. If you look on Verizon's balance sheet, for instance, they got $86 billion worth of airwaves. It's their biggest single asset, worth more than all of their other networks put together.
So literally the atmosphere. That's their asset.
The legal right to use specific wavelengths.
Wow.
Specifically, $86 billion. That's one company.
All right, so back to Armstrong. The FCC has its way. Stations go out of business. And by 1954 or something, Edwin Armstrong is standing on the ledge of his apartment building in Manhattan, looking to jump. Why?
So FM radio, which he'd invented two decades earlier, was a clearly superior technology, and yet it was failing. He'd been fighting this for a decade, pinning it on his friend.
David Sarnoff.
Yeah. And eventually this sense of betrayal built up. And so it's always hard to say why someone would kill themselves, but there's no question that this relationship was at the center of it.
Was Edwin Armstrong naive?
His sense of injustice and all the things he felt had happened to FM were real, but he missed the big picture. He missed the real power he was fighting. Hmm. He never knew his true enemy.
It's a book called The Network by Scott Woolley. It's about Edwin Armstrong and David Sarnoff and radio in the last century. Scott, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.